Welcome back. It's fantastic to be able to introduce one of our very own this morning, Rich Miles, who is part of this service, helps me with others lead and pastor this service, amongst loads of other things. Rich has been part of the church for many decades and is much loved. I was so delighted with how he preached in the 9 o'clock, and I can tell you there is real food for us this morning, and I'm convinced that there's going to be something for everybody in the room, no matter who you are, and we're going to be able to respond with our hearts when it comes to taking bread and wine a bit later. But why don't we welcome Rich as he comes and give him a proper Shoreham welcome. Let's do it.
Fantastic. Thank you. It is really hot in here, isn't it? I've got my changing colour t-shirt on. It's going to go from light blue to dark blue as the morning goes on. Great. So good to be speaking this morning. It's such a privilege to be able to do this for you guys. Serve me so well. I trust that it's going to serve you guys really well. A lot of you will know me as a face that leads in this service, but you might not know much about me, so I thought I'd just share a little thing or two about myself and my family. I've got a photo coming up. This is of my beautiful family. There's my gorgeous wife, Lisa. Someone made the joke this morning that that's my house. I wish. Well, actually, I don't wish. It's freezing. There's no interior walls. There's my gorgeous little kids, Millie. She's convinced she's a princess. She's always having to fight off the dragon. And she's got her little knight, Cody, there, who's always out to protect her, which is great. Love them. So I'm a teacher. I teach at a local primary school in Hove. Love doing that. I love the creativity of teaching young kids and all that comes with that. Also part of the leadership team here, which I'm loving. We've been invested in the church for years and years now. Lisa and I have been running youth ministries together alongside some excellent people. We've served the 11s to 14s for a good 8 years and then on to 15s to 18s. Such a joy to do that. But we just felt God say, right, put that to the side for now, let others raise that up and get stuck in with serving the site more fully. So that's what we've been doing, and we're thoroughly enjoying doing that. So good to have any newcomers with us. If you're looking in this morning, we are so glad you're here. We're so pleased. Perhaps this is a start of a new journey for you this morning. Perhaps in the time we've got this morning, you'll glimpse some of what it is to know and experience the love of God and what that means for you. That's our prayer this morning. I want to start by being a bit vulnerable, actually, and just talking about some of the health issues that I've been having over a number of years. For years, I've been struggling with recurring mouth and throat issues, which have, in the last few years, just got so severe. I've had a few episodes where, for weeks on end, I've been bedridden, unable to eat and talk. So painful. And those pains are ongoing, actually. And I'd love you to, any time you can pray for me, and that would be amazing. But there's times when I can only do what I do, using my mouth to teach at work and to serve here on a Sunday. I can only do that when I've got a bottle of local anesthetic that I'm pumping into my mouth. It's incredibly painful. And as I said, these pains are ongoing. And you know what? I've hit some pretty rock bottom moments over these last few years, if I'm really honest. I've felt a lot of frustration, a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment. I've thrown a lot of questions up to God. God, why can't you just heal me? Do you really care for me? Are you really for me? A lot of venting at him, which I've come to understand is good. It's okay. I don't know if that's an experience of yours. I've got tired, though, of letting my physical state lead my spiritual state. I don't know if you can relate to that. Just being tired of letting tiredness, emotions, just rule you. You know, the day-to-day causing you to, you know, not turn towards God, to just get angry, frustrated. I wonder if you can relate to that. But you know what, in the last few months, I've been fed up with that. And God's been greatly helping me bear with this thorn in the flesh. And I'm being so encouraged by his word, by good books, one of which I just wanted to plug today. I don't know if you've read this one. The Life You've Never Expected is by Andrew and Rachel Wilson. Such a great book about their struggles in parenting, how they're thriving whilst parenting two kids with special needs. You might think, how does that relate to me? Well, it's so raw and so real, and you can apply it to any kind of trials in life. I thoroughly recommend getting hold of a copy of this book. It's great. Amongst those things, obviously great times in the presence of God and being prayed for. I've been prayed for here on a Sunday for strength, for God to help me in these times. But there's been one prayer in particular that I've been really turning my attention to, and that's from the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, he was a church planter. There was no WhatsApp, no email, no Facebook 2,000 years ago. So he would write letters to churches that he would be caring for, that he'd be shepherding. Letters that would talk about how a church should be in its doctrine, in its makeup. And we're going to be turning to the book of Ephesians in a moment. And this is a great book, kind of divided into two parts, you could say. The first few verses talk about how we've been made alive in Christ, all about our position in him, all the benefits we have from being under him. And then it goes on to talk about the practical outworking of all of that in the light of that truth. Now, preparing this, I've been so reminded that this prayer is one I need to be praying constantly, regularly, because it's so important. And I'll be praying this prayer for all the days of my life. And we're going to dip into it now. I've got the lovely Lou Spence is going to come and read to us. So let's open our hearts to this and let's enjoy.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen. Awesome. Let's pray. I'm just so hungry that God does a good work in us this morning. God, we thank you for your great truths in your word, Lord God. We thank you for prayers like this, Lord God, that equip us. And God, we pray as we delve into it this morning, as we just scratch the surface on the truth of these words, would you do us so much good? Would you help us to see truth? But ultimately, God, would we feel the fruit of this scripture? Would we feel an inner strengthening, Lord God? And would we glimpse more fully your great love for us this morning? In Jesus' name, please open our hearts. Widen our ears to you this morning. Amen. Excellent. Well, someone recently shared the words with me. Why does life have to be so difficult? And it is, isn't it? Life is so hard. I've never met anyone that said it's easy. No Christian. Some of you might be surprised to hear that. The Christian life is not easy either. Okay? But God equips us with great prayers like the one we've just read in Ephesians. And this is one that we should pray earnestly. My hope this morning is that we be a community who continue to be a community who are active in praying this over ourselves, receiving it from others, and praying it over others so that we can really know and experience the fruit of it. It seems so clear to me that the love and the power that God may grant us is unrivaled, and we would do well to hunger for it. You might be here today exploring Christianity, and we're so glad you're here. Our heart is that this prayer becomes yours too. That you might taste something of his goodness this morning and know his great love for you. Okay, let's get stuck in. I love the way that Paul kicks off this prayer, reminding us that this request, like all others that we make to him, are granted according to the riches of his glory. We do well to pray when we remind ourselves that we come to one whose resources are inexhaustible, limitless, of great abundance, of grace, of power, and mercy. Have we got any Hobbit fans in the room? Yes, Mike Spence, yes. I know there's more of you. There's more nerds like me in this room, I know it. I love The Hobbit. I'm reminded from imagery from the movie that came out of the abundance of riches. I think of the gold gathered under the lonely mountain by the dwarves. And when you look at this, you think, goodness, that is an immeasurable amount of riches. The dwarven king, though, reluctant to give away a single coin, caught up in greed. In contrast, we come to a king who delights in generously giving according to his inexhaustible wealth. Jesus is the storehouse of all the spiritual blessing that we could ever ask for, hope, or imagine. In this prayer, four big requests are made, but they're not individual ones. One request leads on to the next, leading us to a fuller picture, a fuller understanding and experience in God. I've got hold of a spyglass, and this prayer is much like the different parts of a spyglass. Isn't this great? That's about 180 years old, that. Much like parts of this spyglass, one part leads on to the next, allowing the user to magnify the subject, seeing them in more glory and more splendor, having a fuller experience. I'll leave that there. It's been a great revelation, this prayer to me. This prayer for strength is like one step onto a staircase, leading you on to so much more in God. Or think of it as a series of escalators, as you can see here in a shopping mall or a tube station. Each escalator leading you on to new heights. Everyone might be at different stages, and you can recognize you might be at different stages now. You might have experienced different stages of this prayer. We're going to look at these four requests now. So the first request, that we be strengthened with power through his spirit in our inner being. So what is your inner being, or your inner man, as some translations might say? That's the real you. That's your soul, your thoughts, your actions. Your outer man, the color of your hair, your weight, your height, color of your eyes. We spend a lot of time working on our outer man, don't we? We try to look good. I know I do. Fail sometimes, but you know. We clothe it, we dress it, we style it, we comb it, we part it very carefully. We do all we can to make it look good. We're so concerned with our outer man, aren't we? Some of us spend a lot of time on our hair. Some perfectly crafted hair out there this morning. Some of us really working on our face. Some of us spending loads on our clothing to make our outer man look great. But the outer man is always on decline. My body is so not what it was a few years ago. I know I'm not even that old, but I'm feeling the effect of it already. I've got injuries that I know will probably never be right again from all the stupid things I've been doing in my life, like falling off a bridge, to name one. I've got rolls emerging, according to my wife. It's probably all those mince pies that I've been eating. It's not too early. It turns out as well, even a sneeze has the capability of wrenching my neck, leaving me in agony for over a week. It's crazy. Our bodies, our outer man, is weakening with age. Yet inwardly, our inner being, our soul, can be renewed day by day. During illness, I was so conscious of my desperation for good physical health. And it would be those prayers that would be dominating my requests to God. But more recently, I've been praying, God, strengthen my inner man. Help me endure. Give me joy. Give me more than what I have at present. We all long for strength, don't we? I'm sure you can relate to that this morning. You long to feel strong. And people look for that in all manner of places. I wonder where you find your strength. I've been looking up a few different ways that people can find strength. I found some little phrases that are full of holes. Let's look at these. I'm going to be strong today. I tried it yesterday, and I think I'm hooked. Or another one. Head up, stay strong, fake a smile, move on. Another one. You were given this life because you were strong enough to live it. They'll fail, won't they? Words like that will fail. Or do you look for it through others? Any One Direction fans here? Loads. Look at all those hands. Crazy. JB's went straight up at the back there. I'm not going to sing it, but I've got some words from one of their songs. It goes like this. I don't even know it. No, not happening. That's it. No, I don't even know how it goes. I'm sorry if I say I need you, but I don't care. I'm not scared of love, because when I'm not with you, I'm weaker. Is that so wrong? Is it so wrong that you make me strong? I think they're talking about a girl. Of course they would be, wouldn't they? Where are your sources of strength? I think if we're honest, I think if you think about yourself now, I think there's a weakness in us all, isn't there? We know it. We know it. And just as Robbie Williams sung, you'll know this one. Feel free to sing it. You think I'm strong, you're wrong. You're wrong. And then he sings this song, doesn't he? He's right, we're weak. I love Marvel movies. I absolutely love them. Anything with a superhero, superpowers, I love it. Much to my wife's horror. But she bears with them, good on her. She observed to me the other day after another dream that I'd had overnight, you often dream about being a superhero, don't you, Rich? It's true. But Paul's prayer here is that we grasp the reality of spiritual power. It's that that would grip us. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. And he prays that God would do this through the Holy Spirit. It's his Spirit who's the immediate worker of grace in the souls of his people. In Isaiah 40, we come to this great promise. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. What a promise. Just as petrol fuels and helps power the engine of a car or a motorbike, regular trips to the petrol station are needed, aren't they, in order to fill up, in order to make the car do what it's meant to do, to bring the power, to make it roar, to do what it's designed to do, from the everyday run-of-the-mill jobs, the to-ing and fro-ing, to the speeding down the motorway, to the soaring. The Holy Spirit is our fuel. No matter how impressive we look on the outside, if we're not being fueled by him in our inner being, there will be no strength. That strength is not naturally there. It's he who strengthens us with power. He puts it in us that we might be fortified, steadied, invigorated, and that we would know the strength of the Holy Spirit's inner reinforcement. Sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as a comforter, and he is. But he doesn't come to wrap us in cotton wool. Life is real. There will be trials. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. But you know, the real meaning of the word comfort comes from the word fortify, to strengthen. Isn't that releasing to know that it's not the result of our own work, our own inner searching, our own self-intellect, or the repetition of mantras or positive sayings? Yes, we do need discipline to wait on God and to get stuck into his word. It doesn't always come automatically, but as we've read, it's a promise. It is God who releases strength through his Spirit, and it's entirely a gift of grace. For what? Why do we need this inner strength? Well, it's so that we have the spiritual ability for our everyday lives, to endure the tough days and seasons, to have courage, patience, to love when it seems so hard, to be humble, to resist temptations, to keep applying the promises of the gospel over ourselves, to not walk in fear, to throw off the unjust things that people may have said over us, to trust God, to help with our unbelief. It's that strength from the Spirit of God in the inner man. That's the best and most desirable strength. Strength in the soul, strength for faith, strength to serve God and to persevere in life with vigor and with joy. Do you want that strength? Another promise in Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So the first request was that God, through his Spirit, would strengthen us in our inner being. And it goes on to say, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the second request. An amazing thing happens when we cross the line of faith and invite Jesus into our lives. Christ actually moves into the heart. We cannot get closer to something than to have it in the heart itself. It says that Christ may dwell. Not like a mate who might pop over for a casual beer or a movie or a cup of tea. No, that he may live. That Jesus may become the Lord and tenant of your innermost being. Never to leave. To occupy the best room in the house. To sit in the seat of influence. I wonder who's sitting in your best room of the house. Who's sitting in the seat of influence for you? We've had a lodger who at times we have never seen. It's almost as if we've forgotten they're there. Some might say that's the perfect tenant. All the financial benefits that come with having a lodger without any disruption on family life. But you know what? When you have someone dwelling with you, or in you, who loves you immeasurably, whose presence does you good, who sharpens you up, who gives you good gifts, who is completely and utterly for you, who constantly is speaking life over you, who brings all the heavenly benefits and the hope of glory. What could be better than that? Paul's hope is that Christ will truly take up residence in the heart of those who love him. As we trust him, he will make our hearts his home. When Christ by Spirit takes up residence in us, he finds a house that's in need of great repair, of a great makeover. Don't know if you've seen 60-minute makeover. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about a grand design. He begins a big clear out, turning this residence into a place that is appropriate for him, a home in which he is comfortable. There's lots of cleaning to do, many repairs, some necessary expansions, and this requires a great deal of power. This is why Paul prays for power. He asks that God would strengthen us by his power in our inner being, that Christ may genuinely take up residence within us, transforming us into a house that inescapably reflects his character, making us more like him. I cycle past a house build every day to work, and it's been taking absolutely ages. It does, doesn't it? And I've observed it from the start, from the demolishing of the old house to the building up of the steel structure to, I think I was talking about this with you the other day, wasn't I? See, yeah, I remember that. To the building up of the walls, the roof going on. Strangely, during the first part of demolishing though, there was one structure, one wall that was just left intact. And I wondered what they were doing with that. And it seemed like the rest of the house was being built around it. But after a while, the old stone walls were removed. Bit by bit, this house is being transformed into something better, something more glorious. You know, the deal is when we become a Christian, that heart choice to make Jesus the king of your life, his promise is to completely transform you. And he does this by immediately giving you a new identity, and he then gives you new longings and new desires. When we think about the longings of an unbeliever, maybe where we were at a time, we realize that they were at best ignorant, at worst rebellious. I can say that because I was once there. That was me. That glorious truth for the believer is that he comes and he completely renews us from the inside out. When someone takes up long-term residence somewhere, their presence eventually characterizes that dwelling. For me, I know he dwells there now, but not enough of him. I want more of him. And I can only have more if his Spirit strengthens my heart to hold more of his Son through faith. I want him to broaden my capacity. He must increase in importance in me, and I must decrease. That's my prayer. And that's not a new prayer. That's one that John the Baptist prayed. Is that your prayer? Is that one that you're praying over yourself? His aim is clear. He wants to become the long-term tenant of our new heart. He wants to settle down there as we exercise faith in him. Okay, so we've been thinking about God strengthening our inner man so that he would dwell within our hearts. And our third request that's been made is that this deeper experience of Christ in us will enable us to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ. That's the third request. It's big, isn't it? The believers in this room will all have a sense of God's love for them. We've been drawn to Christ because we've already grasped elements of how much he loves us. And as a result, we've been rooted and grounded in our love for him and for others. We love him because he first loved us. So Paul's prayer here is for strength, for power to grasp the limitless dimensions of Christ's love. Not just in their minds, but in their experience. Because if we think about it, none of us yet know it, do we? We need the power of God to appreciate these limitless dimensions. The dimensions of his redeeming love are amazing. The breadth and length and depth and height. By reckoning these dimensions, Paul is demonstrating the exceeding greatness of the love of Christ, the unsearchable riches of his love, which is higher than heaven, deeper than hell, longer than the earth, and broader than the sea, as Job would put. My wife and I were trying to articulate this to our little girl when we were down the beach a few weeks ago, looking out to sea, trying to explain to our daughter that his love is broader than what our eyes can see. They stretch further than we could imagine. If you asked our daughter, how much does God love you? We would hopefully get the response, and we often do. She would just throw her arms out like this, as wide as she can go, and she would roll her finger around, so it just is everlasting, it's continuous, it doesn't stop. God loves you so much. I love how some would understand this verse. By the breadth of it, immense. It extends all ages, nations, and ranks of men, broad enough to incorporate all mankind, compassing all needs and cares. By the length of it, eternal. It's continuance from everlasting to everlasting, long enough to last for eternity. By the depth of it, incomprehensible. It's stooping to the lowest condition, with a design to relieve and save those who have sunk into the depths of sin and misery. Deep enough to reach the most corrupted sinner. When I think about myself, evaluate where I once was, I wonder why God would ever love me at all. And by its height, it's enabling and raising us up to the heavenly happiness and glory, high enough to exalt even the worst of sinners to heaven. Isn't that incredible? Whether we move forward or backwards, up to the heights or down to the depths, nothing will separate us from the love of God. I love the words in the song we sang earlier, that nothing can change this. Nothing I can do, nothing you can do can make him love you more. Do you believe that this morning? Nothing you can do can make him love you less. Amazing. Nothing. We should desire to comprehend this love. Experiencing the love of God, not just thinking about it, experiencing it is something that we should desire with all our hearts. There's a real call to intimacy there. To experience the ceaseless, excessive joy, the deep assurances, and the perfect hope. I love the paradox that Paul presents us in this scripture. To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. We cannot take it all in. There is so much more to see. It's even too high for all the saints together to grasp. It's too broad, too long, too deep, too high. I really want and need the strength to comprehend it. We all need the strength to comprehend the immeasurable, don't we? I'm so easily wavered. I'm so easily tossed to and fro by my emotions, by my tiredness, by my health. I can be so shallow, so distracted. So often I barely appreciate even the simplest of things in my life. Do you relate to that? I pray, Father, give me strength. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to know the love of Christ. I want to know its soaring heights and humble depths. I want to see its endless expanse stretching from one eternal horizon to the other. I know I won't know it fully on this side of heaven, but I've got all eternity to search and explore his inexhaustible riches of grace and love. Isn't that amazing? So we've been thinking about God give us inner strength, that he would dwell in us and that we would know him more fully and that we'd comprehend his great love for us. And finally, the fourth request. Getting hold of God's great love will result in being filled with all the fullness of God. Those who know and love Christ, who are rooted and grounded in love, with Christ dwelling in them, who are inwardly strengthened by his Spirit, they're in a position to be filled with the fullness of God. As the Message translation puts it, to live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God desires for us to be growing daily towards that final fullness. As we're being transformed by his Spirit into Christ's image from one degree of glory to another, we can expect that in filling the heart, we'll display less of our own character and more of his glorious, splendid character, being replenished with all the grace that we need. Our longing here at CCK is that we as believers grow in this, that we grasp what it is to have all the fullness filling us. We don't know the fullness of his love, but we've seen the extent to which he would go to show us. We come to a great Father who would send his only Son to die on the cross. We see the depth of love of Christ demonstrated on the cross. He came to earth. He knew no sin, yet he became sin for our sake. He went to the cross, brutal, bearing the weight of our sin, our guilt. He bore the full wrath of God. He laid aside his majesty. He gave up everything for me and you. The physical pain that he endured, the emotional pain of being separated from his perfect Father, being cast out. All the while, Jesus thinking about you and me, saving us from the immediate and the eternal consequences of our sin. Jesus dealing with our sin himself so that we get to live in the freedom of it, so that we can have relationship, so that we can know the love of the Father, so that we get eternity with him in heaven. Such love for us, for all of you, for every single one of you. If you're looking in, we so love that you're here. Run to his love this morning. Stop depriving yourself of it. Throw your dependence onto him. Open up your heart. Open the door to him. Invite him in. You will find his grace to be sufficient. It goes on to say in verse 20 of the passage we've been looking at, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request, far more than your wildest dreams. Some of you might be reflecting on yourself. What, me? Do you know what I've done? Have you seen what's going on in my head and my heart? There's a promise. God can do far more than you could ever dare imagine. He loves you. He loves you. His grace is enough for you. For some of us, it's decision day today. Maybe you've come for the first time. Maybe you've been coming along for weeks and months, yet you've never crossed the line of faith. You've never given your life to him, accepted him, opened your heart to him. Maybe that today is the day for you. It doesn't mean knowing all the answers this morning. Just let him in. The worst thing you could do this morning is to have your heart stirred and do nothing about it. Come to him. We'd love to help you with that. We'll give you an opportunity later. Just come and speak to one of the guys, the girls at the front, or someone that you trust that you came with. Today's the day. So the prayer this morning is that we would have strength, depth, comprehension, and fullness. But not that we should be going Lone Ranger on this. We're not to do this on our own. It takes all of us, all the saints together. John Stott would say this: it needs the whole people of God to understand the whole love of God. Let's make this our journey together, our prayer together. Let's be active in praying over each other. Let's adopt this prayer and make it our own, Shoreham. There'll be a few of us that will need to respond in different ways this morning. Maybe you're not tapping into the Holy Spirit. Maybe you haven't visited that petrol station for a long while or ever. Maybe you need to ask for a drenching of the Holy Spirit this morning, for strength to come where you're feeling so weak at the moment, to know a refreshment of his strength, to know the Holy Spirit in you, giving you faith. Maybe for some of us, we need to take some other steps. Maybe today is a decision day to get baptized, taken a step of obedience. Maybe you've been thinking about that for a while, and you need to make that step. It'd be great to do that. Maybe you've been avoiding small group, doing community with each other. It takes the whole people of God to understand the love of God. And it's in community where we work those things out. Get yourself plugged into a small group. Do life together. That will serve you so well. Great. I'm going to hand over to Matt, who's going to lead us into communion this morning. Thank you so much for listening. Cheers.
Rich together.